Hi there. Welcome to the British Herring podcast feed. Thanks for choosing my podcast. It's powered by Acast Plus. You know that by now. Thanks to everyone who came to the Rahulastapa tour. Just drawing to a close now, but all sold out. You might be able to get tickets for Glasgow and Hull if you check the websites, but no guarantees. It's been amazing. These podcasts will be going out until September or October, so we've got lots in the bank. Do listen to them all. There's some fantastic things coming up. But the big news is I'm off on my first stand-up show in 6 years. In April and May, I would love you to come and see it. Tickets are selling pretty slowly at the moment. There's still some time to go. It's a show about my testicular cancer that I don't really like to talk about, but I thought I would do a show about it. It's pretty funny. There's some serious bits, but it's mainly funny stuff. It's going very well in preview, so I would love you to see it. Some places are sold out, but most places aren't. If you go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour, you can see all of those dates. It's going right through June and up to the 18th of July, where I end in Andover. Would love to see you there. So check it out, spread the news, and do keep listening to the podcast. Spread the news about the podcast. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever of these many podcasts you've chosen to listen to.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Tub at the Deerstead Festival. Please welcome a man who is up past his bedtime, like some of the children in the front row. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much, my fine friends. Hello, how are you doing? Wherever we are, it's lovely to be wherever this is. We're in a field. Hello, how are you doing down there? It's good to see some of my younger fans have made it. They're going to learn some stuff tonight. So, welcome to Richard Herring's Loving Sunak and Truss podcast. They're so good, aren't they? I can't choose between them. Whoever wins, we're all winners. Though I was talking to the people who come to the see a podcast at 11 p.m. at the Deerstead Festival. They call it Rahulastapa. So I don't know. We're following on from a serious independent film. I don't know if anyone. There were less people. I'm glad we got more people than the film got. That's something. So it's good to be here. I'm not usually up this. I don't know why they would put a podcast on at 11:10 p.m. But I'm interested to see, it's the latest recording of a podcast I've ever done. So that's something. If I fall asleep, luckily my guest will keep you entertained. I would like to say a happy 50th birthday to Gareth. Hooray! Let's sing him happy birthday. He's 50. Happy birthday to you. Is that you? You look good. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gareth. Here he is. That makes more sense. Bumps! Bumps! Give him the bumps. Let's kill a 50-year-old man. It gets worse, mate. I had two testicles when I was 50.
gets a lot worse. Look, we've only got a short time slot than usual here, so I am going to crack on and bring our guests straight on tonight. Hold on. I'm recording it on my phone just in case it goes wrong, but I'd actually just paused it, so there we go, so they'll have missed it. And my guest is probably best known for his appearance on The Wall, not as a contestant, but as a friend of Sarah Millican and Gary Delaney, just sitting. I saw it. He just sat and said, yeah, good luck. I bet he got paid for it as well. Will you please welcome Delisa Tremonda, ladies and gentlemen? You may have seen him earlier. Here he is, Delisa Tremonda! Come on in. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Let's pretend we've just met and haven't been talking in a tent for
exactly
the last 3 hours.
Right.
How, let's first of all talk about The Wall.
Yes, I did The Wall.
Yeah. Well, you didn't do The Wall.
Sarah Millican's guest, but it was my first time on a game show.
Okay.
So I was more excited than she was. it's a bonkers game show.
Yeah.
And the banter with Danny Dyer is not what you expect. It was fun.
Danny Dyer, good to see him. Right, so you've been on this stage tonight already with some. Who did anyone see Delisa on earlier? Yeah, well, some people. They've come back, so that's good.
That's good. It was not what I expected. I didn't know there would be so many kids.
Yeah.
So I abandoned jokes and rapped.
What jokes would you have done that the kids? Because there's still some kids in there. You don't miss. They're all right. Their dad's 50 years old.
Well, it wasn't that I was going to do filth. I was just going to do, longer, intricate stuff.
Yeah.
Which might have bored a 7-year-old.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's true. Well, we're going to do filth tonight. So that will be fine. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock, Delisa?
I have not.
You've not?
I've not.
I mean, you're quite a short, stocky
guy. No, but even if I could do it, would that give you pleasure?
No, you know, the satisfaction of a job well done.
The only way to do it is if you're a time traveler.
Okay.
And there were two of you.
Okay.
Then it makes sense to put in the effort. But to literally do it by contorting yourself, there's no pleasure there.
Yeah. I'm just the time travel aspect sort of slightly concerns me. What age you is the age you're traveling
no,
back
no,
to
no,
suck
you
off?
Travel, you travel back 1 hour and meet okay. yourself. Oh no, actually you're right. It's probably better to go to when you're 23. And
okay, that's all right. That wasn't what I was thinking. If you go, but if you've gone back 1 hour, you'll know that it's already happened. You'll remember that an hour ago. What if you wasn't very good and you decide not to come back?
You break the universe.
Yeah.
You have a paradox.
You destroyed the universe, or just you wanted to. No one else has suggested that to Lisa. I can see this is going to be. Now, well, you've been on the podcast before, and we did talk about your career up to that point, 2019, in quite some detail. You're a Zambian-born,
yes,
Malawian comedian, for people who don't know.
Yes, and, Italian, right.
And you sort of rose to fame. You've been going for quite a while, but you rose to fame via Britain's Got Talent in 2017.
That's
just
it.
The summer. I'd actually forgotten you're on Britain's Got Talent when I rebooked you.
Yes.
Is that quite good, though?
No, that's good.
Yeah,
because
that's what
it means that I'm known for other things as well.
Because I've seen you say it's sort of like, you know, you realise it might be 15 minutes of fame. But,
yes,
but
exactly.
It seems
I was
to be
very
more.
Afraid it was going to be 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And then after a few years, I'm like, oh, they're still booking me. Okay, this is good.
Yeah.
This is really good. And the audience has shifted to now more the Radio 4 radio audience.
Yes.
And it's just, you
there
just,
they are.
There they are, there they are.
You'd think there'd be more than one, wouldn't you, at a festival like this, but there you go.
But it's,
they're dying out, they're a dying breed.
As long as they're still coming, I'm happy.
That's good. So you've been doing the Radio 4 show. So does it feel like the audience is still coming to you from Britain's Got Talent?
I actually check at the beginning of shows, and right now it's still 40% is still BGT, and then half is Radio 4, and then they're just randoms who oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah, because it's interesting with those reality shows. Yeah. That time passes and it's very easy to you get so invested in them and time passes, and then you think of like Science from Big Brother. No one talks about him anymore. Who remembers Science from Big Brother? I do.
No, but it's interesting in that people remember you longer than like a stand-up slot on Live at the Apollo or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because they voted for you and it gets all caught up in the drama. So I still have random people who recognize me from it. But what is fun is when I go to Malawi, they lost their mind because it was like their version of the World Cup. So that's where I still get, oh, you're the guy, you almost got it for Malawi. So.
And you're saying backstage, you're not going to Edinburgh this year.
No, I'm not going to Edinburgh.
You're going to Malawi.
I'm going to Malawi and I'm going to do some shows in, like, with the, you know, first lady in the room and stuff like that. Like, when I do shows in Malawi, they're bonkers. People have Deliso t-shirts. And so it's very different from the shows which I do here.
Do not people not have Deliso t-shirts in the
UK?
There's a few. Let's have them looking at to see. There's a guy with, like, a yellow smiley face. That could be you. That could be you. You smiling.
Is that Forrest Gump? Is that a Forrest Gump shirt?
And so your tour you're doing, you're sort of midway through. So what, with COVID and everything?
Yes, so it started in COVID.
Yeah.
On Zoom. Then it became half full audiences, and then it's become full audiences.
Great.
And so I'm doing it all the way till February.
And is that Apocalypse Not
Now? Apocalypse Not Now.
And what's the...
The world didn't end. We're still going. But it's also talking about getting over grief. Anything where big changes, being fired, breakups, it's how do you not give up.
Right.
That's the idea.
And you told me backstage again that... last time I talked to you, your dad had just... Because your dad's a big politician.
This is in the show is also about my dad getting arrested. So my dad's a politician in Malawi. He was a minister of agriculture, and he was arrested on suspicion of corruption, right? It was very dramatic. He was found innocent of all charges, and I was relieved because I was 60% sure. That's the sort of joke, but it's all about the drama of having a parent on trial and you wondering.
Yeah. I mean, just think how many shows there will be from Boris Johnson's kids about stuff like that. It's going to be a lot of shows.
Boris Johnson's kids should become... They should become comedians.
I think they're going to have to.
They're going to have to, yes.
So he was arrested in Malawi.
He was arrested in Malawi.
And is that a scary prospect?
It's very scary because, I mean, when he was in prison, he could have not emerged.
Yeah.
His office was blown up, right? God. So it's much more dramatic than the trials which happened here.
Yeah.
So it was terrifying for like a year and a half, and then he was cleared of everything, and that huge relief.
Is he back at work as a politician?
Oh, yes, he's now he's still a politician. Yeah. Now he's in the opposition.
Okay. So,
but he still represents his area.
Oh, cool. That's amazing. So that sounds a fantastic show.
Yes.
And in lockdown, you were telling me that you were doing quite a lot of stuff on Twitch.
I was streaming every day.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, I wrote a show every day, and then it kept going and going. So I stopped writing a show and started improvising after around 100 days, and it kept going and going. And then eventually I gave up. But I did 200 episodes.
200 episodes of a new show every day.
No, around... The first 3 months was a new show every day. And then after that, I just started being like a radio show and just talking about whatever came up.
And were you writing jokes?
I was writing jokes based on what people would suggest they wanted to hear about in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they were good jokes, right? But I did put in the effort. But I lived alone. It was keeping me sane.
Yeah.
Like having to write jokes every day, if I wasn't doing that, I think I could have descended into loneliness and depression.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, it was a very tough time for comedians. It feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it? It's all over now, isn't it? That's why it's safe to come to a festival like this. We're in a big tent. We should be. I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe this next week. That should be all right, right? There's no way the coronavirus can spread. It finds it very difficult to spread in very dank small rooms. That's why. Do you think people are going to test? What I'm interested in, do you think comedians are going to test themselves coronavirus? They're going to test themselves with the virus in the Edinburgh Fringe, or are they just going to try and pretend they haven't got it?
I think if you're like me, yeah, you test yourself way too much.
Okay.
Like literally right now, I'm testing myself. A slight headache, I test myself. But that's because I am extremely paranoid.
Yeah.
And just knowing I don't have it calms me down.
But like if you get the virus in the Edinburgh Fringe and miss a week of performance,
yeah,
I mean, you're already financially broken.
Oh, yes.
If it happens, if you miss a whole week.
But you go to Edinburgh to be financially broken.
It's going to be interesting. Can't wait. I'm on in Edinburgh. If any of you guys are going up to the Edinburgh Fringe, you can watch more of this, me talking to comedians, but in the daytime. They put me on in the Assembly Ballroom, which I think was, a bit insensitive. No? Okay. And they're not all up to speed on my testicles, this audience.
I'm not up to speed on your testicles.
Well, I've only got
testicles.
One.
Hitler?
I've got one. I'm like Hitler in many ways.
Was this for a show? Trying to get into character. That's more than method acting.
Genuinely, when I first thought I had it, I thought I was thinking this would be a great show.
Right.
And then when I found out I did have it, it wasn't the first thing that I was thinking. But, it's been quite good. I've written a book.
Fantastic.
There's a book coming out. It'll be fine. It'll all be good. And you've been doing podcasts. Have you been firing? What's the firing?
I was doing Firing Blanks. We did like two seasons of it, and we were still getting like 300 downloads, so we stopped. I think you need the applause. You need the, lots of people are tuning in. But yeah. I liked it. It was great, and then we just stopped.
You've got to persist. I mean, it sounds like you persisted on Twitch, but you've got to persist. I've been doing this for over 10 years, this podcast. I mean, it feels like just tonight, actually. But then I've been podcasting for 15 years, nearly.
I think I persist in creativity as a whole.
Okay.
But I always go to the thing where people are listening, yeah, right? And people are interested. So I'll always be doing stand-up because there's an audience. I've written a book. If it sells, I'll write another book. If it doesn't, back to jokes.
So is the book about... What's the book about?
Oh, it's like a young adult book about a kid who discovers she can pull stuff out of books. So if she's reading about a banana, she can pull the banana out.
That is not what I was expecting the book to be. I thought Delisa would write a very interesting book about his rise to fame and
his
multicultural lifestyle.
It is inspired by me in that she's a refugee.
But you can pull bananas out of books.
No, but she's a refugee. I was a refugee. So there's common stuff, but it's also an adventure. It's a fantasy.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. That's good. I was saying this, we're in the bonus podcast, we did backstage, but what I love about you is that you can cover you're quite a cheeky chappy, often it seems like it's going to be quite mainstream, especially in Britain's Got Talent, it feels like it's going to be quite a mainstream act, and that's how it starts. And then you get into quite deep and political stuff, and you carry that audience with you, and I kind of find that quite fascinating that you can be on Britain's Got Talent and be talking about slavery.
Yes. No, but I almost feel like I'm like a spy, right? Yeah. Because I'm very optimistic, and my gags are very traditional. Set up punchline. And I think because of that, I can talk about anything. And, they let me get away with it. They were jokes that they told me not to do.
Right.
That I did. And it was fine.
But it's always good when on Britain's Got Talent when someone does like push it a little bit. But I think it sort of fascinates me as a comedian that some comedians, and you said this yourself, that some comedians can try to tackle those and it seems very controversial. And for some reason with you, it almost feels like...
So I've got a good friend, Nabil Abdul Rashid. He did Britain's Got Talent too, right? Yeah. And he got loads of Ofcom complaints. He got people writing articles about him. And we were talking about the same subjects. And I think the difference is, again, I hide my criticism of the UK or of politics hidden in the, it's suggested by the jokes.
Yeah.
While other people literally say it. I never say it, I hide it.
So racists can enjoy it until...
Yes. And then later one of their mates will be like, he's actually talking about us.
And you notice he's also, he's black. Did you know?
Well, on the radio, some people don't know.
Right, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Okay.
Because that's what the people want out there. I can sense. And they may not have heard this one before. If you had to be given oral sex by a dinosaur, if you had to be, they're not all going to be about oral sex. Only about 90% of my questions are about oral sex. Which dinosaur? It can be Barney the dinosaur or a breed of dinosaur.
Okay, it would be what are the ones with really long necks? It's a brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus. Diplodocus.
Really long necks, yeah. But vegetarians.
Good. It's a proper joke. That was a proper joke. That's scary. Let's see if we can keep this up. I accidentally elbowed Denise Van Outen in the face on Channel 5 Celebrity Game Night. That's right. My career is going well.
Okay.
What is the worst injury you have directly or indirectly caused to a celebrity or person of renown? The worst injury to the most famous person scores the most points. Have you ever hurt a famous person?
I don't think I've ever hurt a famous person.
Oh,
unfortunately, there's still time. There's still time.
You could, but I elbowed Denise Van Outen in the face. So I am owed. And if you want to elbow me in the face,
fantastic.
In return for Denise, it could have been nasty. That show, they got everyone very drunk, and then made us run around and do kind of insane stunts. Someone will die on that show if it's ever brought back. I have a feeling it probably won't be. This will be interesting because you lived all over the world, so you may have different reference points on this to us. Which toy did you always want for Christmas but never received?
The toy I always wanted for Christmas was a Transformer.
Okay.
Or a GoBot. Yeah. Essentially a car which turns into a thing, a human. And I stole one at boarding school.
Right.
And then I was caught and given public shame justice.
Wow.
Which is possibly the most effective form of justice. So I was at a boarding school, I was caught, the prefect made me stand in the center of the room with my arms out. And they jumped around, like all the other people jumped around me and pointed,
wow.
Mfiti, which means thief, thief, thief. And I just cried in the middle and never stole another thing in my life.
Wow. I wasn't expecting
I didn't know we were going into therapy, yeah. but you asked the question.
I thought they were going to make you like be a transform into something. You're going to have to transform to teach you a lesson. You're going to have to transform into a table for the next 15 minutes. Wow. I was going to ask if when you were an adult, did you buy the thing for yourself? But you probably...
No, never.
Wow. Wow, God, that's terrible.
I was 11. It's fine.
Right, I'll ask you. I think this audience wants some classics. I mean, I think some of them have just come in to get out of the cold. So I don't know what's happening, and I'm wondering why there's two men sitting on the stage talking. What would you prefer, Deliso? A hand made out of ham.
Oh, they cheered. Okay, yeah.
A hand made out of ham. It's terrible, isn't it, when a hand made out of ham is more popular than either you or I. Or an armpit that dispensed sun cream. I mean, you know.
To be fair, I don't need sun
cream. You do need sun cream.
I've got a melanin advantage.
Don't rely on that.
Don't.
I've had cancer. Don't rely on.
Don't
rely on your melanin.
You were relying on the melanin.
I was relying on it. I was just had my balls out. And I'm on one of those little silver things, right. Catching the rays.
But still,
no one wants to see pale testicles, do they?
But can we ask follow-up questions about the hand made of ham?
Yeah.
If I bite something, does it regrow?
Yeah.
So I've forever got a snack.
You got a snack. If you eat the whole thing too quickly, it'll take a while to
regrow. It'll take a while to regrow.
No, so but you won't have a hand.
I think we'll go with a hand full of ham.
And you could sell the sun cream to white people.
You could. But who would buy something that comes out of your armpit? Yeah.
Not racistly. Eh? That's right. That's right. It'd be a way to find out. Why won't you buy my sun cream? Oh, is it because I'm black? Have you ever seen a ghost? Now, we were talking about the supernatural backstage.
Have I ever seen a ghost? I've never seen a ghost.
No.
But I mean, I believe there are ghosts.
Okay.
But I've not seen one.
What makes you believe in them?
They're around, you know? I believe in everything.
Yeah.
Right? You know how atheists believe in nothing? I am the direct opposite.
Okay.
I don't just believe what Chris... I believe what everybody believes, right?
Okay.
I believe in a kaleidoscope of different things. God and spirits and whatever there is, I'm fairly confident it exists,
okay.
Right? And I dated someone who believed in ghosts, and she had seen a ghost, but I have never seen a ghost.
Okay.
But I didn't...
There aren't many ghosts.
Oh, they're ghosts. They're ghosts. You think they're no ghosts, but that's because, you know, you've not encountered them.
Well, but
the world is full of millions of things we don't understand.
No, it is. It is. Yeah, Hamlet, it is. But, that's a better way of putting it, actually. It's more succinct. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Yes.
The world's full of millions of things we don't understand. But does everyone become a ghost? Or just,
no.
Why not? How do you know so much about it?
No. So I don't feel that a ghost is a dead person.
Right.
Right? A dead person, I believe in an afterlife or something.
Yeah.
Right? So there's another stage.
Okay.
Right? So like, you know when you're in the womb, you've got fingers and eyes.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense. You don't know why. Then you're born and suddenly they have purpose.
Okay.
There are a lot of things which we encounter in this life, such as suffering, which make no sense. Then in the next stage, they make sense.
Okay.
Right? So I believe in that. But ghosts are not... It's when something goes wrong.
Right.
So people are trapped or...
Yeah.
Hey, you asked the question!
I disagree with the odds.
Yeah. Not everybody's secular. That's just most of the UK.
Okay. If you believe in everything, though, what about the things that contradict the things that the other people think?
Complexity is what people don't... Complexity is much more fascinating than simplicity.
Right. Didn't get this from the... Have you ever tried to suck your own cock? different questions come up with different things.
Yes.
That's...
Hey, spirit.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Who is the most right-wing person that you've ever been sexually attracted to? Because I sort of quite fancy all of the Tory... I mean, some of the men as well, but all of the Tory women.
There is an American pundit called Ann Coulter.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, she's fit. Right? And I think she's more fit because she's racist, so I'd be doing it for my people.
And also, imagine like if you, someone like that, and going, she could overlook that.
She could overlook that.
And go, no, I love you so much that you've made me get rid of my own prejudice.
Oh, I wasn't saying I would date her.
I know. Okay.
She's still racist.
She might not be there. You might manage.
But yes, I she's attractive.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask about the Royal Variety performance that you performed in 20. How was that? That's a big deal, right?
Was a big deal, but I also did it in the weirdest year, because I did the Royal Variety in the COVID year.
Oh,
so there were no human beings. They were just screens on every chair,
right. Okay?
And we had to bow at a screen, because Prince Charles was just on a screen. So it was very surreal and weird, but I loved doing it because my dad can understand, oh, you're doing something for Royal. Like, if I tell him I'm doing a gig in a tent, it means nothing to him.
Yeah.
It's like you're wasting your life. Oh, you're performing for royalty. That's something he can brag to his friends.
Yeah.
So it was lovely as something which my family can be proud of.
Okay. So you didn't meet because Prince Charles was...
I didn't.
Didn't
I just...
Even come in?
We couldn't shake anyone's hands because of COVID. So I'm owed a shaken hand. I don't know if I can go collect. Just show up. But it was just wonderful to do. Also because COVID, you're just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
But there was no laughter in the room. That's the other thing. Because it's like when you're on Zoom, if there's laughter, it will cause feedback. So we had to perform and just see their faces moving. But, oh, it was so bizarre.
Because part of the fun of the Royal Variety is sort of the lineup afterwards, where the royal family come down and have to meet everyone, whether they've done well or badly as well. If you've done badly, you have to...
But I have a friend, actually, I won't say their name because I don't want them to get in trouble.
Okay.
But they said that I was lucky, because usually the Royal Variety audience is posh twats, right? But our year, they gave free tickets to people in the NHS. Okay. So we actually had a nice audience.
If only you could have heard them laughing. They look nice the way they're...
Yes, exactly.
This is an interesting experience performing at a festival. I don't know, do you do a lot of festivals?
I do a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
I do everything.
Yeah.
I am my agent's always like, oh, you always say yes.
Okay.
If I'm free, I'll do anything. I'll perform for soup. I just want to perform, so I do all sorts.
Sure. Is it, like you're saying this afternoon or this evening, you had to change your act to something different
because there were kids in the room.
Yeah.
And I do, like, I've done a religious festival, right? And then I've done like a hedonistic festival. I literally will do anything, but I have lots of jokes, and so I just choose from the jokes I have what suits the people in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in Malawi, I'm not going to be talking about, you know, sucking my own cock, but like, that works in Thirsk.
It does work. It's all there is to do in Thirsk. I had to have dinner in the Premier Inn tonight, and it was not a pleasant experience. I actually have been sick in the back of my throat during this. I was going to ask you something. It's completely gone out of my head what I was going to ask you there, but never mind. Oh, well, you're off on a cruise.
Yes, I'd offered lots of cruise ship gigs,
and
I always said no. But after the pandemic took all of my savings and dwindled them, I just started saying yes to stuff I never would have said yes to. So I did a panto last year for bank account reasons, and I'm doing a cruise ship this year for bank account reasons. You know, people always talk about how you do one for them and one for your soul.
Yeah.
I'm just doing for them right now. And once I've got money again, then I'll start doing the stuff for my soul.
This was for your soul, right? Doing this.
This is for my soul. This is fun. We're talking. It's fun.
And I think what's great as well, I've been out with you, is because you had been going for so long before this big mainstream success, that you are, you know, that you can cope with any situation. It's not like just someone who's thought, I've got 50 minutes of jokes, I'll go on TV and see what happens. You were working for...
I've been 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been a comedian half my life. So,
yeah. Yes.
Like, as much as I say that they're for them, I've got jokes which will work on a cruise ship. I've got jokes which work in a panto. So I can do. I generally can do anything. But also, I used to write for other people. So I think that makes you more flexible about what you talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very interesting. I think it's interesting that, again, I don't think people really appreciate how much, like, a lot of TV comedians have, like, a team of writers. Certainly on, like, panel shows and stuff, they'll have a team of writers or a writer that they trust.
Nobody can write that much comedy in like 2 days, because people will get find out, oh, I'm on this show in 3 days and I need topical jokes about everything going on in 3 days. And so usually they'll call at least two other comedians and pay you some money to write some jokes. And then what you get is a mixture of the stuff they wrote, the stuff you wrote.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's good that, you know, it's good that then those writers hopefully will go on and become names themselves. It does,
and also it keeps you eating and living, right? There are a lot of people who are like, oh, I wish it was all just them. And I'm like, but then what would comedians live on when they're on the way up?
Yeah.
There's a comedian who's going to be performing here tomorrow, Scott Bennett.
Yeah.
And when I write my radio show, he co-writes with me. And it's just two minds work so well in developing an idea.
Yeah, and it is a fun way to do it. I worked with Greg Davis on the Buzzcocks stuff that he did for the first series of Buzzcocks, and it's just kind of fun to go around to. Well, it's kind of fun. It's fun to go around to Greg Davis' house and have him tell you loads of jokes, and you go, "Yeah, that was a good one." that was partly my idea, wasn't it? That idea. Do you Google yourself?
Way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much. And it always leads to depression, but I still do it.
Well, it's interesting because people say, like, when they find it, I search for myself everywhere.
Oh, wait. Okay, I don't specifically Google myself. I don't go to Google and Google myself, but I go to YouTube and see what people are saying about me under my videos.
Okay. Yeah, that's worse.
That's worse.
Because those people are, I mean, they're just dicks.
But it's like a roller coaster, because you've got some horrible people. Like, I had such, in one day, I went from, this guy is a twat, he's not funny. Then the next one was someone really, like, you know, someone who was molested and was like, oh, this joke made me laugh and cry and made me realize that I'm not to blame. So, like, an inspiring thing. Yeah. And then underneath it, this guy should not be allowed to hold a microphone. So it's all up and down, but I'll go read that.
Yeah. I mean, people think if you look for your own, I mean, I think A, everybody does it, and B, people think it's a vanity search, but like, it's a more of a, if you look at people's comments, it's more of a reality search.
Yes.
That you're going to see more bad things. I find it kind of interesting that someone will go to you or to somewhere they think you'll see it and be just very, very rude to you. I think it says more about them than...
But often they don't know you'll see it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I argue with them. Right? And they always have like, oh, it's him. It's really him. You know what I mean? And sometimes they apologize because they would never be as venomous if they knew you were going to see it.
Yeah. It's true. I enjoy engaging with you guys, so keep it up. I'll keep it up if you keep it up. I'll keep up. I'll keep up being really unfunny for 30 years, but somehow making a career out of it. I'm happy, whichever. All right, this will be an interesting one for you.
Okay.
Which conspiracy theory do you think might actually be true?
Which conspiracy theory?
Maybe all of them, if you believe in everything.
Well, the truth is, I don't believe in the QAnon ones. So the conspiracy theory that I think might be true is the Illuminati.
Right,
that there's a cabal of people who run the world. Right now, I don't think they do the things that people think they do, but I can't think of a bunch of old white men sitting and discussing like the stock market.
Yeah.
Suddenly got very quiet, like you know them.
This is their fest. It's where the Illuminati come just to relax.
No, that's the only one where I'm like, okay, it's probably not the absurd things that people think it is, but it sounds like, yeah, a bunch of extra billionaires sit and discuss stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, the conspiracy theory that Donald Trump conspired to have the result of the election overthrown by encouraging people to go and invade the Capitol. That's a conspiracy
theory. That's not a conspiracy. That's history. That's literally history.
But it's a conspiracy theory and it happened. So there we go. There's one that happened. Have you ever been in a police car?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah.
After stealing the Transformer?
No. I've, like, several times in my life, I've just, like, been in a... They stop you, they ask you questions, yeah, and then they let you go.
Not me. I wonder what... What do you think that's about?
I wonder why.
It's always been very helpful to me.
No, but I'll tell you what's interesting is, like, now I slow down when I see the police because I'm like, okay, they're going to ask me a question about why I'm here. Okay. And you just adapt. And a lot of people, I have friends who talk about, like, oh, why don't you get angry when racist stuff happens? And I almost feel like from 0 to 6 out of 10, you just let it slide. That's just background noise. They have to literally be yelling the N-word or spitting in my face for me to react.
Yeah.
So when police stop, I just stop, answer their questions politely, and move on.
Yeah, that's a terrible world, isn't it?
But it's the world. It's like, look, like the way I look at it like this. If it's sunny, right, you get sunscreen, right? You adapt to the world you're in. If you're in a place full of mosquitoes, you adapt to that. So I live in a world full of racists, and I've adapted to it. Like, when the police stop you, you act low status, you don't look in their eyes, you answer their questions, and you go. Right? And like, every black child is taught that by their parents, right? About how to survive these encounters and not get into, not to escalate the situation. It may be sad, but that's just what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're booing you there, Lisa. I hope not. Boo!
You're booing? Yes, I know. But this is the interesting thing is, like, the world's getting better, but slowly.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe in a generation or two, this won't be necessary, but it's still necessary now. Like, I had this chat with my niece.
Yeah. I know, you have to look after yourself and you have to live in the real world, but it's all equally, fuck the police, that's what that gentleman thinks. I can't. They were very helpful when my tyre exploded on the A1 the other day. So, you know, it's all about balance. It's all about balance.
It's all about balance.
They did call me a honky, though. I think they just have to get out of their system. Yeah. It's okay. Oh, dear. I'm just choosing between these questions. Actually, there was one. Time traveling finger. We're getting requests.
I think you'll find I was suggesting time traveling oral sex.
Yeah, we've already.
Not fingering. That's a whole different.
We've already done time travel.
That's a whole different DeLorean.
I'm not doing the time traveling finger. I don't.
I thought they were referring.
No, okay. It was right. Don't worry. There's a question about everything. The one I wanted to ask you though was if. I'm not. We're not doing it. I'm going to get mine in travelling time and go up your ass to make you stop talking. That's worked. Time travel will one day be possible. If you could have all your teeth replaced by psychic orbs that could tell you all future events by telepathy, but would scream at a high-pitched volume every time you opened your mouth, would you go ahead with the teeth replacement operation?
Yes, I would.
Yeah?
Because knowledge of the future would be amazing. And I would just keep my mouth shut, right? But I would know the future. I would know which relationship's going to fall apart, so I won't approach that person, right? I would know what to invest. Oh, knowledge of the future would be astonishing.
Okay. Also, the orbs would be useless for chewing and make your breath smell of sulfur, but you'd win the lottery every week. So, you know, it's good to know. Deliso, if you could... go into a chrysalis like a caterpillar and dissolve, but come out of that chrysalis as anything you wanted to come out of, what would you come out of the chrysalis?
I would want to come out as like the parody of an angel, like with wings and a halo and like powers to glow and stuff. Not like a parody of an angel. The angel which little kids would draw. That's what I'd come out.
You want to come out an angel a kid would draw?
Wings.
And just glow.
Glow, halo, and heal people and stuff.
And heal people. There
like, I've got angel powers.
Yeah. Do you think the angels... what's the hierarchy of the angels? Do you understand
So that? It's seraphim, cherubim. Yeah. I don't know all this.
Where does the herald angel come in?
So a herald is just... They've just got to announce stuff. That's a horrible job. They're like... They're the post office. They just send messages.
Seems like the main one, because they are
No, the main ones are like the warrior angels.
Okay.
Right? Like Gabriel, who go like beat up demons.
What about the ones that are just babies?
They're cherubs. They're like love and laughter.
That seems cruel. Are they children that have died, or are they just are they old men who decided to become children, or what?
They never grew up. Artist's interpretation of what they are, but okay. It's like just a little.
How do you know so much, Dave?
I'm fascinated by faith. Like I read is books of faith, different mythologies. It's my jam.
Okay, so you would even though you know about all the angels. You want to be a child's drawing of an angel?
Yes. Okay. Because I think children draw a wonderful version.
Okay. It's fair enough. What did you play in Panto? I want to know more about the Panto.
So in Panto, I played the comedy sidekick, who was Widow Twankey was my mother. Okay. And I was... it's funny, I've forgotten my name.
Simple Simon?
Not Simple Simon. I'll tell you the thing about Simple Simon.
What about him?
I was offered Simple Simon
the
previous year. Okay. And I said no.
Why?
Because Simple Simon's almost like a Forrest Gump dumb... The comedy comes from him being dumb.
Yeah.
Everyone else in the play was white.
Okay.
And I was like, you can't have me be the single dumb character... I don't think you know the optics, right? So I said no that year. And then instead I did... I can't believe I've forgotten his name. The Widow Twankey's kid, the... Wishy-washy. I was wishy-washy.
So you're worried about being this panto being racist. And then you came back and were wishy-washy the next year.
Is wishy-washy racist?
Yeah, it's racist against Chinese people, man. How dare you come here? How dare you come on my podcast with your racist?
Wait, who's wishy-washy racist?
It's all wishy-washy, isn't it? It's all little pointy hats.
Oh, I wasn't wearing... I was wearing like a multicolored thing.
I'm going to get you cancelled, mate, for that. That is disgust.
Well,
I thought the police were bad until I heard about it. And now they're stopping him.
But right now, being cancelled is good for your career, so let's do it.
It could be good.
I'll be edgy.
If you had a time-travelling finger, what would you do with it, though?
If I had a...
There you go.
Okay.
It's not even the proper question.
If I had a time-travelling finger... I would send it back in time and finger Hitler.
Okay. It's a good...
He's a twat, so I don't know. What would you really...
Why would you reward him? That's rewarding him.
No, what could you really do that's useful with it? Oh, no, I just realized. You can send it in the future.
Yeah.
So I would send the time-traveling future into the future... To spy and bring back information.
Okay.
For now. And tell me via Morse code.
Okay. What do you think about pegging? We were talking about
pegging
backstage.
We were talking about pegging.
We were talking about pegging backstage. I had to Google it.
So I vaguely know that Prince William pegging was in the news.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know the story. So
we probably can't say. We're going to have to beat
in the audience. Can you clap? Was he found pegging? Why is
was he found? I mean, he was probably found being pegged. I think
being pegged.
I mean, you could. But it's for the kids in the audience. It's when if you're having sexual intercourse.
What are you doing?
I think they should know. They should know.
No.
One of you. Well, don't come to a comedy show at 11 o'clock at night with a child. You don't want them to find some stuff out about pegging.
No, but you can explain it in different ways. So, when
you get a dildo. Strap on dildo.
No.
And you can enjoy the love act. You can enjoy it both ways. You can share. And it reaches. I've Googled it. It reaches. If you lie back and put your head. You've got to kind of get your legs. You've got to get your legs back a bit. And then they can reach the.
You crouch. You crouch.
Crouch like this. How would you do it? If you're pegging, you crouch. But if you're being pegged.
So you like do downward facing dog from yoga.
Yeah.
And then the other.
Are you being pegged or are you pegging in this scenario?
Men definitely get pegged.
You could put another
we
one.
We are the peggies.
You could put a strap on dildo on behind you and peg someone from behind.
From behind.
It's just about washing. It's pegs, like in the wash. It's a washing line. We're just
talking about
pegs.
Washing line pegs.
Don't sit in the front row and put the V's up at me. Pegging's a delightful. It's a lovely. It's when a man and a woman love each other very much, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, probably more likely. Oh, and a baby's crying there. Now we're in trouble. That's a whole life ruined. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're crying.
But
pegging also makes you cry, so it's...
If you do it right. Okay. Why is it connected with Prince William? Does anyone know? Because I don't know. No.
Someone knows. She knows.
There was a leaked memo.
There was a memo.
What happens if you peg too much?
I love that there was a memo.
There was a memo.
So there's like there's actually an office which deals with salacious rumors about royals.
And I think if I heard Prince William was pegging or being pegged, I wouldn't need a memo. I'd remember that. just in case I forget that, I'm going to write that down on a little post-it note. Hope no one else sees it.
I don't think I'm doing the royal variety again.
Don't worry, this won't go out, but, you know. These people are all high on drugs and won't remember a thing. They won't remember a thing. People go, did the man talk about pegging in front of a child? good.
Good.
No, we've done pretty well. Actually, we nearly have done pretty well.
Fantastic.
We've nearly finished. What's coming up after the tour and the book?
Right now it's tour, book, and then the next series of my radio show will be Citizen of Nowhere Series 4.
Series 4, my goodness.
Four,
that's very
yes.
good. Are you doing 4-episode series or 6-episode?
4-episode series.
Yeah,
and
good.
It's my favorite thing I write because they actually let me do anything. It's wonderful.
It's good.
Yeah.
Radio 4, very good.
My
sitcom's coming out in September as well.
Wonderful.
Might be. So a man gets testicular cancer and I don't know where I get my crazy ideas from. I don't know where it happens. But no Edinburgh Fringe. Will you come to the Edinburgh Fringe 2023?
Yes, so 2023 I'm doing 2 shows, but this is what happened is when I started comedy, my first show was called Feed This Black Man, and the second one was called Don't Let Them Deport Me, right? The themes were charity and then immigration. And I was a shit comedian, but the ideas were great. So I'm going to redo them 20 years later as a better...
Great.
Writer, yeah.
It's a very good idea. It's a very good idea. And, you know, sadly, very necessary to talk. I mean, I think what's great, I think, is you're managing to talk about these subjects and, you know, in a way that I think isn't off-putting to, you know, the kind of people who are off-put by this when other comedians do it.
And I think, again, it's because I try not to be judgmental,
yeah.
Right? I want to talk. One of my best friends was a comedian who, I don't know if you know, Greg, who was in the EDL.
Right.
And we used to have big arguments, but I was still friends with him.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've got to have that attitude when you talk about stuff in that I'm making fun of you, but I want to be friends with you. So that's sort of like, I challenge, but I don't just call you a cunt, because that's not going to get any... That's not going to create any traction in the brain.
I think with this... It's true. I don't know what that... But that is, he's still going for time-traveling finger, that guy, I think.
Yeah.
But it's true. And ultimately, the dialogue has to happen, and people have to...
Yes.
You have to convince people.
Exactly right.
And, you know, I think... You're on the right side, so I think hopefully you will convince people. But it's, you know, it's keep on doing what you're doing, and it's terrific that you've, you know, I think like it, as well, you were the first comedian really to go on the proper comedian
there had
circuit
been,
comedian
there,
to go on.
I was the first just talking comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
So there'd been like guitar comedians, there'd been ventriloquists and stuff like that, and like people who do impressions. But in terms of it's just a microphone and a person, I was the first one who did really well. Oh, no, actually, Jack Carroll did well as well. But
yeah.
But either way, I was one of the early ones.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, it sort of paved the way. And, it's so difficult to get through this throng of comedians now that all the people, everyone's doing. There's so many fantastic people. And so you have to kind of use every available...
I think you've got to cheat.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be there was a path.
Yeah.
But now you've either got to, you know... get there via the internet or get there via like a talent show, however you do it. You cheat to get there because the normal ways weren't working for me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's great. It's absolutely fantastic. Do go and see DeLisa on tour. He's on tour in the autumn in the UK. If you're in Malawi, he's there in August.
Yes.
I've probably got two listeners in Malawi, so that could make a big difference. I've got a little map on my that you can go and look at I'm going to look it up later.
Look it up.
You know how many listeners I've got in Malawi. It might be zero.
Well, we're going to boost it because I'm on now, so you'll get
that's
some
good. Malawi. Yeah, go and listen to it while you're in Malawi. Apocalypse Not Now. Not the Edinburgh Fringe. It's not at the Edinburgh Fringe. What's your book called?
My book is called The Page Divers.
Page Divers.
Because they can dive into pages.
I'm writing a book called The Muff Divers, so I hope it doesn't. It's a bad man who can draw just a new rudimentary muff on a page and then he can get it and he can do what he wants with it.
Yours is
coming out at the same time, so you know, good luck. Good luck with your banana.
No, but mine's going to do well and yours is going to go down on the charts.
Oh.
I tried. That was terrible.
We can't end on that, but we're going to have to.
We're
going
to have to. On a bad failed fun. No.
It's midnight. Go. I hope you're having a good time at the festival, everyone. You've got a whole weekend to go. Let's give it up for everyone who works in the Deer Shed Festival, all the organisers for putting it together. Thank you very much for having us. And thank you. You've been a fantastic audience. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for coming.
Sorry for ruining your
thank
life.
You.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeLisa Chibonda. See you at the Edinburgh Fringe. Come and see me at the Edinburgh Fringe. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Go and listen to another one of mine, preferably. But, you know, the whole podcast medium is a wonderful thing. Go to richherring.com/ballback/tour to find out if I'm coming near you with my stand-up tour. We're hopefully doing more dates in the spring of 2025 if we're not coming near you. But why not travel to see me? I'm travelling to see you. Come on. Quid pro quo, people. Quid pro quo. Thanks very much. See you next time. Love you lots. Goodbye.